Welcome into the 49er Access Podcast. My name is Sterling Bennett, and today we have something different for you. Today is my guest appearance on The Krug Show with Larry Kruger. We dove into the entire NFL mock draft, 7 complete rounds with trades. So without further ado, here is my appearance on The Krug Show with Larry Kruger, diving into the NFL mock draft.
All right, let's get into our mock draft. And what we'll do is we'll share the screen, and I'll let you make the pick since you're guest.
Okay.
And we'll go through this. We can talk it through, but we'll go through it. And I'll let you make the picks. And I put it, we're Pro Football Network, 7 rounds. We're going fast. And we got the Niners there. And that's it, right? Can we just enter solo draft? There we go.
I'm just waiting for the Jaden Daniels number 1 overall pick, and you're like, oh, the whole mock draft's busted.
Okay, here we are. We can do trades if you want. I'll offer you the trades, but I'll let you quarterback this thing all the way through. So we're at 31. Before we look at the board, Cleveland's called. They're offering 54, 85 in their second round pick next year for 31 and 176.
Don't love that.
So we can reject that. Then Denver's called and they've offered 76 in their first round pick next year. No. I don't love that either. So yeah, let's reject. So now let's look at the board. And Johnny Newton is on the top of the board.
I think Dan Brugler had him going to the Niners in his mock draft this morning for the Athletics. So it's very fitting that he's on there.
Well, it's funny, too, because I had Baldy on a couple weeks ago, and I said, Baldy, there's a bunch of different defensive linemen in this draft. Give me the guy that you like. And before I could even get out the question, he's like, Johnny Newton, Illinois. He loves Johnny Newton. So that's from Baldy. But here's the board. You got Michael Penix sitting there, which means you could trade probably back because somebody wants Penix. There's Adonai Mitchell. Keon Coleman's got a big catch radius. You got the BYU offensive tackle, Jordan Morgan's there. Darius Robinson, who was the practice player of the week. You know, in a lot of ways, Darius Robinson, when I look at the highlights of him, I'm thinking, I see a little Aldon Smith there. But he's another guy that you know, he was voted the defensive practice player of the week at the Senior Bowl. McConkey's there. TJ Tampa is a very physical, hard-hitting, big number one corner. I'm a huge fan of this kid, Zach Frazier, from West Virginia. That was another thing Baldy said. Baldy said, you don't have a great offensive line unless you have a great center. And he thinks that Frazier's a great center. I do, too. He's got the wrestling background. This, you know, he's a 4.0 GPA. He's dominating inline blocker. So he's intriguing to me. Max Melton is intriguing to me. Rook Arororo is intriguing to me.
Probably the best name in the entire draft, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, just the idea of him making Greg say that every day, you know, every week is going to be awesome. Edgerrin Cooper is a great player. I'm an A&M fan. I watch A&M every week. He's a terrific player. He can play Mike. He can play the weak side. You know, do you need a replacement for Dre Greenlaw? Then there's Leggett. There's Rakus Straw. But I'm going to defer to you. I'm going to let you make the pick. So what direction you want to go here, Sterling?
So I think you have to get into the mind of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, right? They like to build trenches out. And knowing Malik Collins is on a 1-year deal, essentially, and they have Javon Hargrave locked up and just lost Eric Armstead, quote unquote, lost Eric Armstead, letting him go to Jacksonville. The Johnny Newton pick is kind of how is he still on the board at pick 31? Many people.
He's very quick. He's very quick.
Javon Hargrave. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, though, is it worth getting a receiver or getting a Kingsley Suamateo or a Jordan Morgan and then going and trying getting a Chris Jenkins or a Michael Hall in the second round to, I think San Francisco had a top 30 visit with Michael Hall, who I'm sure won't go until round 2 or 3, but like Newton, I think is the bona fide, like if he's there, he's a blue chipper, probably he's at least in conversation, if not behind Byron Murphy. Some people have him above Byron Murphy for the best defensive tackle in the entire draft class.
Murphy went 2 picks before, by the way, to the Lions.
Right, which is a great spot for him next to Aiden Hutchinson out there.
And DJ Reader. They just added DJ Reader inside.
So, like, the one thing that does bother me about Johnny Newton is, I guess bother is probably too aggressive of a word, but he isn't the greatest run stopper. But, I mean, he's super quick off the line. He's a great pass rusher. And when you talk about the Niners wanting to get back to just read and react defense, go and get the quarterback, don't have these stunts involved, just go, essentially. I think Johnny Newton, if he's at 31, I think the Niners have a hard time saying no to him. But I also wonder, it's an interior defensive tackle. And I don't know if the Niners would value that at 31. Like, the last time they've taken an interior guy in the first round has been Eric Armstead. And that was pre-Kyle Shanahan, I believe. Like, well, there was Solomon Thomas.
Kinlaw.
Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. Yes, you're right. You're right. Kinlaw, yes. So, oh, man, like,
I mean, here's the thing. Hargrave doesn't play the run. So what is the real need inside?
Right.
I think the guy that you get inside has got to be a two-way player. He's got to be, like a BY, you know, Bryant Young. He's got to be a guy that, you know, yeah, he gives you some pass rush, but he plays the run. That to me, you know, Michael Hall, I know the board, you know, we get, especially as we look at these mock drafts and we look at the board, we get into like perceived value, you know,
right.
Like what is value? Value for anybody. You know, if you somebody comes to your home and prices, you know, whatever carpet, the value is from the price that they give you first to the price that you pay, right? I mean, that's where you perceive value. It's going to cost you $5,000 for the carpet, and right. Then you say, well, you know what though, we're going to cut this and that, and we're going to give it to you for $3,000. And then it's right. Like, hey, wait a second. So the perceived value is that you saved $2,000. But did you really, or was the first price kind of a high price? And I mentioned that just because all these games, we're talking about prospects here. These are people evaluating people. It's always problematic, and it's an imperfect science. Personally, I think Michael Hall might be better than Johnny Newton. And Michael Hall led the nation this year in pass rush win rate at defensive tackle. I just watched Ohio State, Michigan the other day, and this guy's firing into the backfield. I mean, he ran 4.76. Now he's not Aaron Donald running 4.68, but 4.76 at 300 pounds is moving. Michael Hall, according to the stopwatch, at least ran the same time as Braden Fisk and is the fastest defensive tackle in the class. So I know the perception is that Newton's better, but I don't know. I mean, I watched Newton and I've watched Michael Hall, and I think they're very comparable players. They're both that kind of sawed off, shorter, undersized, pass rushing interior tackles that are just a menace. They get their hands on you, and they're technicians, and they're fast, and they're, you know, tenacious. I think they're very similar players. I kind of prefer Hall to Newton because of the health. He's got a cleaner health deal, and he's also younger. Michael Hall's not going to be 21, I believe, until like June or July. So he's one of the youngest players in the draft. And I realize people would, if you took Johnny Newton here, people would say, oh, he fell to you. Great pick.
Yeah.
And the mocks would give you an A. If you took Michael Hall here, they'd be like, oh, reach. You know, you get a C- because you reached. But in reality, I don't know that there's a huge difference. They have different strengths and weaknesses, but I think they're very comparable. It's my way of just saying it's like, you know, the board is the board. But like as Belichick pointed out today, every team in the NFL's board is going to be different
right. Based
on the way their scouts rank these players. So just food for thought. But that all being said, what direction would you like to go? You want to go Johnny Newton? You want to go with, you know, one of these other players, a receiver, an offensive lineman, a corner? What are you thinking?
So I think if you were picking at 20 and Johnny Newton was there, I think you'd take him. I think Michael Hall, who I do like a lot, he's 6'2", 299 pounds. He's put on about 20 pounds since leaving Ohio State. So he's bulking up for the draft. he has the instincts to be a good run defender, but he just isn't there yet. Now, Chris Kocurek can mitigate some of the issues a lot of these guys have. But if you're at 31 and Johnny Newton is there, and I would not be scared to leave a player like Kingsley Suamataya or Jordan Morgan on the board for somebody else. Like, I would not be afraid to do that, knowing that Blake Fisher is down there and Cooper Beebe's there. And I know you like Zach Frazier on the interior. Like, those guys aren't tackles. I'm also not of the mindset that San Francisco needs a tackle. I would not be surprised if they go guard in this draft or try to improve center. I think it's as simple as go Johnny Newton and you can figure everything out later, because I think you have the blue chipper you want. And it also means that you don't have to apply or try to get a defensive tackle in the third or fourth round. You can go get the guy who I think many teams would have inside their top 15 of their big boards.
We'll go Johnny Newton. Here we are. I think we've decided Johnny Newton.
Yes, sir.
So they start with Johnny Newton, and now we're rocketing through the second round. We're down at 63. Denver's called. They are offering 76 and their third for 63 and 251.
I don't like that.
Not loving that, so we'll reject that. So that was the only trade. So now we're on the board here at 63,
right.
And here's who's the best players according to this mock. Cameron Kitchens, the safety from Miami, who I'm a big fan of his. Ben Sinnott, tight end from K-State, big fan of his. Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle from Michigan, whose dad was Chris Jenkins, played for Carolina.
Andrew Legend. Heck yeah.
and also this Chris Jenkins was on the top of the Bruce Feldman freaks list. I mean, he's a workout machine. There's Cedric Gray, if you're looking to replace Dre Greenlaw, and Cedric Gray is my favorite linebacker in this draft. Then there's Braden Fisk, who I thought the workout was amazing. I mean, I don't know if he's an every down guy, but he could be a pass rushing rotational player that Kocurek would really love. There's Roman Wilson, if you want to go receiver. They did bring in Brandon Dorlus from Oregon, who's about 285, and he might resuscitate their NASCAR package. He's kind of a DN, D-tackle, tweener. Junior Colson, there's Ricky Pearsall right there. Marshawn Nyland, they brought in Nyland. A lot of people like Cole Bishop. Mahogany's a brawler at guard. What do you think? Mason Smith was a five-star. Mason Smith's one of the interesting guys in this draft. He was a five-star recruit out of high school and never could quite get it going at LSU. But, I mean, you're talking about 6'6", 310 pounds, fast. Mason Smith, he wore number zero, but he's an amazing talent. I'm a big Blake Corum fan. Roger Rosengarten, a lot of people feel, is a plug-and-play offensive tackle. Jeremiah Trotter's a great linebacker. The Yale kid's got eternal, long arms. What do you think? What direction do you want to go? You've got a defensive tackle. Do you want to go offensive line? I can also kind of look at any position you want if you want me to here.
Yeah, let me see what we have at offensive line. Because I think at this moment, when you've gotten Newton, you have probably at least three of the better pass rushers in football. And you have two of them on the interior, where Johnny Newton probably is at least a top 20 interior pass rusher, I believe, coming out of college. Like, he's that good.
At center, you got Cedric Van Praan from Georgia. Tanner Bordellini. I'm a big fan of this kid, Bo Limmer from Arkansas. He's a 6'5", 6'5", center. Okay, those are the top centers. The top guard, Christian Mahogany, who's wore 73 for Boston College, total brawler. Mason McCormick was a phenomenal player at South Dakota State. And then he went to the combine and kind of showed that he was big time. Zinter, a lot of people think is nasty, and he had some injuries at Michigan, but a lot of people love Zinter. Ladarius Henderson is got some pulling capabilities. And then at tackle, you've got Rosengarten. You got the Yale kid, Amagaji. You got Notre Dame's Blake Fisher. And then I kind of like this group down here. I like Javon Foster from Missouri. I like Garrett Greenfield a lot from South Dakota State. I like Christian Jones from Texas. I like Caden Wallace from Penn State. I think there's Frank Crum, the ginger from Wyoming. this kid from Howard, Aneem Donkwa, is crazy good. He's kind of like the guy that went to the Browns last year, Daywon Jones. He's like 6'8", 360, but he's from Howard, and it's going to take a year or two of tutelage there. But I mean, he is a monstrous offensive tackle. So what do you think? You want to go offensive tackle? The best tight end is Ben Sinnott. Yeah,
that one is
best receiver is Roman Wilson. Pearsall's there.
So I'm of the mindset that you can I really like Ben Sinnott, but I also believe that Roger Rosengarten, I know I think Joe Staley is training him at Washington. They were just at the local pro day for them and had a personal workout with him. And they were like, I think it was Chris Forrester and John Lynch stayed after the workout to talk to him privately. So they've shown a lot of intrigue with him. I also like Blake Fisher a lot from Notre Dame. 6'5", 315 pounds, 34 1/4 inch arms. Really doesn't have many weaknesses. So because of that, I don't think we need to go tackle here. And I also think that, I hate to say they don't value a tackle or the interior in the second round, but receiver is really intriguing. And honestly, even cornerback too. The receiver, they're so deep at receiver in this class. When I see Kalen Carson up there, I don't know how much you know about Kalen Carson, Larry, but of the
quarterbacks. Well, I love his teammate. I love Malik Mustafa, the safety from Wake. I haven't studied Carson that much, but I probably should. 5'11", 190 pound, lean, it says well-sized frame, good natural strength, torrid foot speed. I don't know what he ran, but obviously he ran fast.
So the reason why there really isn't much on him is because he had a leg injury and he hasn't been involved in a lot of the scouting process during the draft process. But he's got pretty good size. I mean, he can play outside. He plays really fast. He accelerates well, a really good transitioner, good tackler, likes to run, defend, gets physical at the line of scrimmage. One thing about him that will knock him down some people's draft board is he's kind of grabby, but so is Mooney Ward, where at times he gets called for a holding call downfield. I think at one time after the Vikings game, Mooney Ward had the most illegal contacts in football. So Kalen Carson reminds me of that kind of player. He can play man, he can play zone. He doesn't really have the ball skills you like in a cornerback to convert picks, but he can certainly lock down a receiver if he has to. I think
would you rather have Carson than Pearsall, the Florida receiver?
Probably not, because I see Mike Sainer still down there and I'm in love with him at Michigan. So I probably would go.
He's small, but he was the team captain.
Yeah.
Sainer still is a great little player. He had the key. He had the clinching interception in the national championship game.
I think if you're the Niners and you retain Ayuk, you have a thumper in Debo who at times doesn't always stay healthy.
Right.
You have Ayuk back, who is a great separator. And I think against Kansas City, and one thing that really frustrates me with the Niners is they tend to only play three receivers all year long. And I think Pearsall could break that trend where, let's say Debo goes down in the big game, you'd have two really good separators in the playoffs or the Super Bowl against Kansas City. I think if you want to get nuts and just give Purdy everything for 1 year, I think you'd go Pearsall and just say, you know what, Kyle, all the chips are in. Go get me Ricky Pearsall.
Let's do it. We'll go Ricky Pearsall. You comfortable with that?
I'm good.
All right. Ricky Pearsall, round two. We're off to round three. They don't pick again until number 94.
So far.
And let's see, at 94, the Vikings are offering 108 and 129 for 94 and 215. Would you move back?
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I don't hate that either, because you're consolidating picks and you're only really moving back, 14 spots, 94 to 108, and you're moving up, from 215 to 129. Now we can hide this real quick and see who's on the board.
And I think they pick at 124, 132, 135, they're back-to-back-to-back pretty quickly in the fourth round.
Yeah, they pick again at 124. 132 and 135. So they have three picks coming, and they're here at 94.
Picks in a six pick span from 124, 129, 132, 135. You can load up if you really wanted to in the fourth round.
I mean, this is why this draft is exciting for the Niners in a lot of ways, because they do have some picks and they do have a way to really dramatically improve their football team.
Yeah.
At 94, Mason Smith is still here from LSU, the big defensive tackle. They looked at Braylon Allen. You know, if you want a big running back, hey, there he is. Is Johnny Wilson a receiver, or is Johnny Wilson an outstanding flexed out tight end? If they really thought that he was an outstanding flexed out tight end, he might be interesting. Amagaji is the longest arm tackle. You know, he had a quad injury this year, so he didn't play. But, you know, a lot of people feel like Amagaji is an absolute moldable ball of clay. Austin Booker is an underrated pass rusher. This Texas Tech safety, Dadrian Taylor Demerson. I don't know if you saw him, but he's just a hyperactive tackle machine. You got a one technique defensive tackle in McKinley Jackson there. So, Jaden Hicks is a hitter.
Yeah, I was going to say, Andrew Jaden Phillips Hicks is really intriguing. Man.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys there. I mean, Mustafa, they say they need a safety. Mustafa's there. Bordellini's a good center. I mean, there's some good Malik Washington's there, McCormick. What are you thinking? What are you thinking right here in the third round? Or do you want to go back and take that trade and move down and garner more picks?
So it does look like that Mike Sainristil was off the board, if I'm correct. It looks like he's gone.
Let's see.
Which would Mikey lean me.
Went to, who did he go to?
Is he gone? Let's see.
Yeah, he went to the Lions.
Man, they got Murphy and Sainristil.
I mean, you know, the Lions are coming, man. I mean, the Lions are coming.
Oh, yeah. And well, they had us this year.
I was a big fan of Blake Corum, too. I think Blake Corum, to me, reminds me a lot of Emmett Smith. I think he's a star.
Wow. Okay.
I love Blake Corum, but he's going to the Bears there, so he's out.
So I do wonder now that Mike Sainristil is off the board, if he can see the cornerbacks for a second. Yeah. Do the Niners get a little worried that they like Andrew Phillips a lot? He isn't the greatest
tackler. They worked him out. Kyrie Jackson's a 6'3", 6'4".
I love Kyrie Jackson.
You know, corner. Cam Hart's a big corner. Chow Smith-Wade is small, but he's a tremendous corner. Daquan Hardy's interesting in that he's a small corner, but he's an elite return guy. Might be the best return guy in the country. And if you're looking for, you know, a return guy with the new return rules, they also met with Elijah Jones from Boston College. He's got great size. It's a good – I love this kid, Willie Drew, from Virginia State on day three. But Andrew Phillips has got great workout numbers. I mean, you could go corner here.
So the kid
that went one pick before, Renardo Green, was one of my favorites. He went one pick before to the Titans. I love Renardo Green from Florida State.
So what does worry me is, if you're the Niners, can you afford to, and I get the Isaac Yiadom, and they just signed Rocky Sin. I'm not a big Rocky Sin fan by any means, but to me there is a concern of, what do you want to do at cornerback? Do you want Lenore playing inside? Do you want him playing outside? You do run the risk at this moment, if you don't find another nickelback, you don't have one. Now, is that maybe an overstated worry? Potentially. Andrew Phillips,
you
makes,
trade this pick to the Browns for Greg Newsom.
Yeah, and that's certainly, I think that was a rumor early on in the offseason, but Andrew Phillips is there, and he's 5'10", 191, hyper physical, sometimes too grabby, but he's hard to beat vertically. I think he's one of the best processors at the cornerback position in this draft. He can cover in shadow, I think, better than Sainristil could. My only concern with him is that San Francisco likes cornerbacks that can tackle. And Andrew Phillips, just, in my opinion, is a horrible run defender. And I would have
Kyrie Jackson is 6'4". I mean, he's a big corner if you wanted, you know, an edge setting presence there. And they that's what they had in Emmanuel Mosley. And let's be honest, everybody talked about Chase Young and this and that, but really one of the big the big guys that they missed this year was the corner. They missed Emmanuel Mosley and his ability to set the edge on the corner.
So I'm going to take our chances here, because I really do want Kyrie Jackson. He's 6'3", 200 pounds, almost 33-inch arms. Knows how to use his body. Physical tackle at the line of scrimmage. He's a guy that doesn't just tackle. He loves to tackle at Oregon. You can argue he's one of the best cornerbacks in this class at evading space of a receiver, and he's really good at the catch point. So because of that, I think he'll be there in, what is it, 12 picks? I think trading back...
There's three corners that are rated higher than him that would probably come off the board first in this mock.
I think trading back would be the smartest move with the Vikings. What was that? 14 picks, I think.
Let's do it. We'll do it. We'll accept that trade.
Fingers crossed. Kyrie Jackson went.
Okay, so now we're at 108.
Okay.
But you still have Kyrie Jackson went, but you still have Andrew Phillips if you want to take Phillips there.
I think.
Let's see all. Mason Smith's there.
Your guy's still there. Jaden Hicks is still there.
Mustafa, if you want a safety, he's still there.
Hmm. For the sake of just the Niners having a visit with the guy and seemingly liking him a lot, and I think San Francisco would like a, in a division that has Lockett and JSN and Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, depending on what the Cardinals do in this year's draft, I think getting Phillips makes a lot of sense now. It will give Lenore the flexibility to go inside and outside. Phillips wouldn't have to play on base downs all the time. I think Yadam could fill in there on the outside if you need to. So I would go Phillips here at 108, and I think you get good value there.
All right, so we went Phillips, and now we're sitting at 124.
Okay.
If you go all, Cade Stover, the tight end from Ohio State, tall tight end, Jaden Hicks. If you go safety, Wazoo. There's some interesting players. Malik Washington is there. All day Ray Davis. I don't know if he's from San Francisco. Ray Davis from Kentucky is a phenomenal running back. Theo Johnson, who has some really good workout numbers from Penn State. Rice's kid. Somebody mocked Jared Wiley, the TCU tight end, to them. He's on the board. Bo Limmer is there. Chow Smith Wade. The Niners brought in Jacob Cowing from Arizona.
Yeah.
Cowing's interesting. He's a good route runner. He's not the biggest guy, but he runs in the 4.3s. That's an interesting one. Javon Baker, if you want to go receiver, he's there. So there's a lot of interesting ones. Jonah Ellis, I think, is one of the most polished pass rushers in this draft class. That's Luther Ellis's kid, one of his kids. And if you watch Utah, this guy's got a nasty, ridiculous spin move where he can spin, outside, inside out, outside in. Jonah Ellis is a force off the edge. He's a little smaller than you'd want the Niners usually have guys around 265, 270. He's more like 250. But what are you thinking here at 124? Or is there a spot you want me to look at? No trades are being offered.
I think my eyes are taking me towards Jaden Hicks because the Hufanga situation is so up in the air currently with the injury, and if he'll be there, if this was draft
big
day,
safety, 6'3", 202,
like round two, I have a firm belief Jaden Hicks will be taken in early day two. Kind of a throwback, 6'5". He's 6'1". Hard hitter. Like when you talk about an enforcer on defense, he just likes to thump. And it's like you put that guy in this defense and there is a conversation to be had of, is he a strong safety? Is he a free safety? He can play special teams. He'll get nasty and dirty with tight ends and receivers. Like he's unafraid to play football and, come down into the box. He's also really good in coverage. Like, if there's fear, and I don't know how you feel about this, but with the Hufanga situation and all the reports of cannot have his jaw back and the injury, like though maybe can't repay him or re-sign him next offseason when he's up, like I think Jaden Hicks, you give me Jair Brown and Jaden Hicks in this secondary, you got two thumping playmaking safeties behind a really good defensive line. That's really intriguing. But we also haven't taken an offensive lineman yet. And I'm sure fans are like, what the hell is going on? So,
There's some good ones here. I love Javon Foster. Now I've watched him extensively. He was really good at the Senior Bowl. He's got huge long arms. He's a perfect, him and Greenfield. Greenfield is one of my sleeper guys as well. He's a perfect swing tackle. He's played the right side. He's played the left side. He was incredibly athletic. Yeah, I think he had, in fact, I don't have it in front of me, but I think Garrett Greenfield at the Combine set the offensive line vertical record with like 37 and a half inch vertical.
Jeez.
So, I mean, that's an amazing thing. And they, you know, they won the last two FCS national championships. I'm a big fan of Greenfield, big fan of Foster. Christian Jones, I thought, looked really good in the one-on-ones.
Yeah. I like Christian Jones.
You know, at Senior Bowl, and they brought in Caden Wallace. To me, any of those four guys, I kind of like them in that order too.
Okay.
Foster, then Greenfield, then Jones, then Wallace. But you know, that's the offensive tackles. And yeah, Limmer's there. He's a good, really good center. You know, tight end is still a need. You know, defense overall, you know, to me, the edge rushers are real interesting here. Javon Solomon led the nation, I believe, in sacks from Troy.
16, yeah, he had 16 sacks in 14 games, 19% pass rush win rate this year. Really good.
He's incredible, as is Jonah Ellis.
Solomon's 6 foot.
These are smaller guys. The guy that I really love, too, is Muhammad Kamara, who's down here at Colorado State. I think, you know, 6'1", 255, 260, but Mara is a crazy athlete. If this kid were 6'3 or 6'4, he's already off the board, probably late first round. He had a big year. The only thing down on the guy is he's 6'1 and a half.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So there's edge rushers that are intriguing, but this is kind of where you have to, I think, start to play the board as best player available.
Right. I agree.
But what do you think? I mean, you're making the picks here. You can have anybody you want. I can show you any position you want. What are you looking at?
Let's go to guard for a second. I know Limmer's there, but Brandon Coleman
from TCU. There's the big A&M guard, Layden Robinson. Isaiah Adams from Illinois. Zinter is, I think Zinter might be a really, really good player. He had some injuries, but Zinter was a high recruit. He's a brawler. He's tough. I think Zinter might have been one of the Wolverines' best offensive linemen.
Well, I believe he was a player that got hurt in the national title game, I believe. And then, like, the entire crowd was like, Zach, like, the team loves him. He's a great leader in that locker room at, you know, Big Blue. Let's see centers for a second, because I do think
Bo Limmer is a 6'5 center, 6'4. They list him here, 300 pounds, but he did it in the SEC.
Yeah.
And he's a tough guy. He's a really tough guy. Now, Charles Turner's really, really strong from LSU. The Penn State center is supposedly pretty decent. Nick Gargiulo from South Carolina is considered to be a top tier center.
So I have a player named Hunter Norzod from Penn State. He's
right there.
High IQ, 6 year starter or 6 year player. Good athlete, good versatility, good size, inconsistent run blocker. Like, the highs are really good and the lows are like, what's going on here when you're a 6 year player at Penn State? The one thing I like about him is that he just, like, with what he does with his body, like, he just get a body on somebody, get a hand, like, he'll be on his knees and he'll just put a hand up and go, I got to get contact with somebody. The issue is he cannot pick up a stunt to save his life. Now, in that same breath, thank God Aaron Donald's gone because it would be over. But you said go best player available. I agree.
Jaden Hicks is still there too, by the way.
I think Jaden Hicks is just found money if he's in the fourth round for San Francisco.
All right, we can go. We'll go Jaden Hicks at 124. And now here you are at 129. Now, this is just a matter of, a lot of people feel like the Niners are going to consolidate their picks.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a different mindset. Why? Because to me, if you go around the team, you say, okay, if you could make an ideal situation, what would it be? You know, the more the merrier. I mean, like, in this, I would make this move. I would move from 129 to 136 and pick up 203. There's other people that would say, oh, you don't need more picks. But to me, every one of these picks is like, it's like you could be landing Brock Purdy. It's a bite of the apple. And who cares if you have a little bit, you have one or two more rookies than you want, you might get to camp and there might be an injury. So I'm kind of a believer, and I've been this way since Green Bay last won their Super Bowl, and they had like 26 guys on season ending IR, and they still won the Super Bowl, whatever year that was, against Pittsburgh. To me, it's like depth. If you know, you can never, it's football. I mean, you can never have enough depth. So unless there was somebody that I just, let me see, I'll hide this. If unless there was somebody at the top of the board that I just had to have, and I just don't see it there, I would make that trade. I would trade from 129 to 136 and pick up 203.
So you'd be at what? You'd be at
132. You're picking anyway in
the 136.
Yeah. So you and still have, you're getting that late. Yeah, you're just getting, it's a 2-for-1, basically. It's a 2-for-1 in the middle of the draft. To me, that's a very safe trade, and I think I would do it.
Okay. I will ride with you on this one.
All right. Now we're at 132.
Right.
And you have another offer. The Ravens are offering 146 and 165 for 132 and 251. You do pick and two more picks. So,
and I believe 251 is your last pick.
Yeah.
So there really isn't. And you pick at 215. So I believe, I think we still have that pick. Let me see the offensive lineman, though, because I don't want to miss out on, you know, some interior guys that could be hits. Is Bo Limmer still there on the board?
Yes, he's the highest rated center.
I think you got to pick him. He's too good.
Okay. So Bo Limmer, now you're picking again at 135. We haven't taken a tackle. Let's see, tackle-wise, Javon Foster's still there. Garrett Greenfield's still there. Caden Wallace, Christian Jones. Those guys are there. Frank Crum, Aneem Donkwa. These guys are all still there. And I kind of think this is where this tackled. And I even like the Maryland kid, Gottlieb Ayadaze. I don't know if you saw him work out at Indy, but he's a nice prospect. They list him later. But, you know, and then I'll tell you the other kind of guy that I'm keeping my eye on is I'm a big fan of Austin Reed.
You go quarterback still?
I would. I mean, I've watched this kid Reed, and I think he's really got the goods. I mean, he was a lacrosse player. He's a 4-4 student. They say this guy just lives in the film room. He's got a lot of the same traits that Brock Purdy had. Now, I don't know that he's going to make the team, right? I don't know, you know. Are you going to cut Brandon Allen? Are you going to cut Josh Dobbs?
Right.
But this is the kind of kid that I think Sterling could look really good in the preseason and force them to cut one of those veteran quarterbacks. I really believe that
Purdy was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think Reed, like, you know, a lot of people love Joe Milton. A lot of people like Michael Pratt. A lot of people like Carter Bradley. A lot of people like Sam Hartman. They're all sitting there right there. Devin Leary's got a hose.
Yeah.
Absolute hose.
So
but to me, Austin Reed is special. And so I would try to use one of these, not necessarily right here, but I would try to use a pick in the, let's see the picks here. The Niners have 135, 136, 176, 203, 211, 251. So you still have six picks. Probably when you get to 203, that's when I would probably consider Austin Reed. He's listed at 222 on here.
Let's look at it. Go ahead. You're good.
No, I was just thinking, you know, at this point, though, it's literally best player available. And there's some interesting guys. Javon Baker is still there. Isaiah Davis, the running back for South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits running back. He's a good player.
Let's look at running backs still there.
Running backs. Okay, here we go.
It'll be the Kyle Shanahan and me. So
Jalen Wright. A lot of people think Jalen Wright maybe is the best back in the draft. There's Garendo, who my buddy Tony Pauline said the Niners were going to use a third round pick on. He runs in the high 4.3s from Louisville. So, he might be a fullback. There's Tyrone Tracy, who was a receiver, who a lot of people think a sleeper. Blake Watson's very good. My sleeper guy is this guy right here, Amani Bailey from TCU.
So I'm a big Dejon Edwards guy from Georgia.
Yeah, and I like him too. I really like him.
The one thing, and if Tony Pauline is correct in the fact that San Francisco was thinking of taking Garendo on day two. I think Isaac Grenda, who has comped to Raheem Mostert a lot, I don't know if that's who he'll be in the NFL, but he's got 4.3 speed. He's not like out of a cannon fast. He just kind of builds up to it naturally.
Right. He wasn't even necessarily the best back on his team.
No, he wasn't, but he had 22 explosive runs and 132 carries. 6% of his carries were explosive runs this year at Louisville. It's certainly tempting, but I also do want to look at the edge rushers because I'm afraid there's going to, and we pick back to back, so I don't want to get too crazy here, but we do pick at 170 after this.
I mean, to me, this is incredible value. You can have Jonah Ellis or Muhammad Kamara. Sunday Anderson is interesting too. He's a little underpowered. Gabe Murphy is a good player at UCLA. And then further down the list, there's Braden McGregor is not bad. Jalen Harrell from Michigan. This kid's been everywhere and back. Ayabi Okeanoma. He played at Alabama. He played at Michigan. He's played for like four schools, but he's a big time athlete. He might be a little bit of a troubled soul, but
so there's a player named Xavier Thomas, and it might be a little too rich for him at a Clemson. I think Dane Brugler has him going in the 5th and 6th round. The one issue with him is he has a lower leg injury, but he's super explosive when he's healthy, good burst, relentless effort, has good feet, quick feet. Him only being 6'2 and 244 may have some questioning him, but if you're looking at Mo Kamara, who is barely 6 feet, like you could lean towards an Xavier Thomas that is a little bigger. He can play standing up, he can play sitting down. Look kind of a low floor, high ceiling kind of guy, boomer bust that could be really good for you, but also just kind of crap out. He is 25 years old, which may again concern players a little older than, you know, the average 22, 23 year old coming out of college. I do like Xavier Thomas a lot. I took him 2 mock drafts ago on my show. I think with Koserik, he doesn't have to be a big piece. I think he would do something that, you know, with Floyd and Gris Matos, I think he could be something. Now, you have to ask yourself, is this the area you want to take him? But I do think the Niners will have the ride towards him if he's healthy. Let's look at tight end, though, because there's a lot of guys still there. And we pick back-to-back, so...
tight end is interesting. Okay, so yeah. You have Cade Stover, Theo Johnson, Jared Wiley, Jaheim Bell, very athletic tight end, Florida State. They met with Eric Hall. I'll tell you the two guys that intrigue me the most are the next two guys.
Is it Tip?
Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona. He was a wide receiver. And if you watch this guy, he's a tremendous receiver. And then I had Baldy on, as I said, a couple weeks ago. Baldy told me that one of his personnel buddies says that Tip Riemann is far and away the best blocking tight end of any in the entire draft. He says he's the guy that you can line him up in the line of scrimmage and he will block defensive ends.
Yeah, I agree.
There's Tip Riemann. Dallin Holker is another really intriguing player out of Colorado State. A.J. Barner's of angular, tall tight end from Michigan. Isaac Rex is an interesting player. He's older. He went on his Mormon mission. But as a freshman, he led the nation with 12 receiving touchdowns. He was the number one receiving tight end. His dad played college football. He's intriguing. And then I'm a big fan of this kid, Mason Plein, out of Furman. He's like 6'6". He was a basketball player. Sterling, if you watch this kid's basketball tape, he looks like Aaron Gordon. He's just like this high riser dunker guy, and he's 6'7", and he's a mechanical engineering major. He's already graduated. He's got 10.5-inch hands. Now he's not a blocker per se. You're going to have to kind of, you know, work with him as a blocker, but you know how athletic Aaron Gordon is, and that, and if you're that kind of an athlete and you're a mechanical engineering major and you have 10.5-inch hands, to me, Plein is a real sleeper, but he's probably an undrafted free agent or a, you know, round 7 guy.
So I think now, because we go back to back, I'm not super high on Theo Johnson. I know a lot of people like him. Some call him the second best tight end in the class. I don't love him that much. He's 6'6", 259 pounds, almost 260. Freak athlete. But he only had 34 catches in college this past year, which kind of concerns me. He has build-up speed, doesn't have the instant off-the-line speed. He's an average blocker. He has room to improve there, but he feels more like a slot, like a really big slot, than a tight end you put on the inline, which does concern me. Like, when I think of how Shanahan likes to use tight ends, it's not what Theo Johnson does well. Cade Stover is somebody that I like. He's 6'3", almost 250. He's solid in kind of everything. He's not, you know, excellent in anything. Reliable, good at the catch point, can play special teams. I think of the tight ends on the board, I would have them listed as Stover, Ryman, and then All as like the three I would point to. I know All's coming off an injury. And I think he had a torn ACL this past year. Then he hurt his back 2 years ago. So there are concerns with his health. But as a receiver, he's really good. I think I would go tip Ryman, knowing what San Francisco likes to do. Now, the draft board might say 190, and that might scare some people away. But I just think, like, it's either Ryman to me or an edge rusher. And I would go Xavier Thomas over Ellis or Mo Kamara, knowing the size they don't really have. So I would go with Tip Ryman here.
Okay, so now you're going back to back. So they go 135, 136. You want to go edge now?
I think that's the smartest place to go, unless there's like another corner, but I don't think anyone stand out. You already got you already got Phillips earlier.
You know, Jalen Wright is a damn good running back. He's sitting right there. As far as corner, Chow Smith Wade, great ball skills.
I think he visited today with the Niners.
Yeah, I mean, he's small. I mean, he's a 5'10 corner. He's small, but he's got great ball skills. You also have some good receivers, Cowing, Baker, Joan Ellis, good rusher. I mean, the McCaffrey's still there if you wanted to satisfy Christian at the beginning of round five. I don't know. Kenny Logan's a thumper. Grendo's still there. Aaron Casey's a hitter at linebacker.
Do you like
Elijah Jones? Elijah Jones is interesting too. Okay. He's a good corner from Boston College, and he's got good size, 6'1", 185. And I know they looked at him. Do I like Taj Washington? He's a good route runner.
Yeah.
I like other receivers who I think are more dynamic, but I like the route running ability. He's only 5'9", 174.
He's really, really tiny, really tiny. But he's also super reliable. I know we're at pick 136. We don't pick until in the 170s again. I don't think there's going to be an edge rusher out there at 170 that we love. And I know it might sound nuts, but I think, like, Jonah Ellis, to me, the size concerns, I think, would deter the Niners from taking him.
They seem like they want bigger guys in the wide nine off the end. He's like 245. So, like,
that's why I would lean towards Xavier Thomas. He's 6'2", 244. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right.
So I think I'd go Thomas.
Okay, we'll go Thomas there. And now the thing's moving down the list. Now we are in the last pick of the fifth round. And now Minnesota's offering. This is interesting. Why would you not do this, right?
Yeah,
I think you won't pick 176. Minnesota wants pick 176. They've got the next pick, and they're allowing you to move from 251 to 215. You got to do
that. Which I think was your initial pick you had was 215.
Right. So now you're getting your pick back. But you're only moving down one spot. You're moving down one spot at the end of the fifth round. Let's see who they take. We'll accept it. They took Gabe Hall. So there you go. So now you've got the first pick of the sixth round. And let's see. So far, just to rehash, we have Johnny Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida, Andrew Phillips, the corner from Kentucky, Jaden Hicks, a safety from Wazoo, Bo Limmer, the center from Arkansas, Tip Ryman, the tight end from Illinois, and Xavier Thomas, the edge rusher. We're still sitting here, and there's four picks left. They don't have a tackle.
Yeah, let's go to tackle. There's one player I have in mind. I hope he's there. And he is Christian Jones. Bang. Exactly who I wanted.
There you go. Big kid from Texas.
Yes.
Huge talent. I like Christian Jones. He looked phenomenal in the one-on-ones. I don't think that he lost any of the one-on-one battles in Mobile that I saw during the Senior Bowl practices.
Any All right, so issue now you're pick- that he has, I think, is so minor that it's like, yeah, like give him time in the NFL and he'll be fine.
Now you're at pick 203. And what would you like to do here? Jarvis Brownlee, the corner from Louisville, who's a Florida State transfer. He's there. Trey Taylor's a pretty good safety. Joe Milton, if you like a receiver. Dylan McMahon's not a bad offensive lineman. Edifon Olufosio is a super fast linebacker from Washington. Oh, by the way, today the Niners met with Sione Vaki. And Vaki's agent told me that they've met with him like 7 or 8 times. He's going to join me on Friday on the Krug Show.
Awesome.
And we're gonna chop it up. He's an Antioch kid who they've shown interest in. He was a running back who's kind of more, the Niners like him, I think, as a safety and maybe as a return man.
Yep.
But Vaki is an interesting player. He's listed at 205. They're picking at 203. His agent has kind of made it seem like it's very likely the Niners will take him. But I don't know. It's your pick here. So you can pick anybody you want.
Okay.
And then Brian Austin Ford Reed, that quarterback there. I like is there. Aeneas Smith is an awesome player. Now I'm an A&M fan. Aeneas okay. Smith is one of the most underrated receivers in the game. This Troy State running back, Kamani Vidal, did not fumble one time. And I think nice. In his entire career. He's like 5'9", like 218 pounds, Kamani Vidal. Josh Cephas is a really good player, too. Wide receiver. And there's Dejon Edwards. And I love Dejon Edwards, by the way. I'm a big Dejon Edwards fan. I think he's a terrific back. So there's good players here. I mean, this is like the people that say, oh, you know, day three, there's, you know, somebody in the chat's like, Larry gets too excited about day three guys. Oh, yeah. You mean like George Kittle or Brock Purdy or DJ Jones or, you know, there's a reason that Larry gets excited. Juwan Jennings. There's a reason I get excited about day three guys because, you know what? Day three guys oftentimes can play and sometimes undrafted guys can really play.
So, you know, there is a thought in my head that Joshua Cephas in real life may go undrafted, but I really like him out of UTSA. We've gotten a tackle. We've gotten a guard. I think this is the point where, like Jaden Hicks earlier in the draft, you just pick the best player available. I do want to look at edge rusher again, though, just to keep an eye on it because – let's see what's out there because we did get Xavier Thomas. But
it's like starting pitching in baseball. You can never have enough. This kid from Grambling State is about 245, but he had a tremendous all-star game. Sundy Anderson. It's one of the kids from the historical black colleges. He's a tremendous player. Taylor Upshaw from Arizona is Regan Upshaw's son.
Okay.
Who played at Cal and played with the Raiders. He's interesting. Braden McGregor is a try-hard guy for sure. Jalen Harrell had a really good year for Michigan, but he's a little bit undersized.
I think he's an off-ball linebacker rather than an edge rusher.
You think so?
I think so.
That's the list right there.
I think Gabe Murphy from UCLA is still there.
Jubinor's not bad. Gabe Murphy, I think, just went. Yeah, he went.
Gabriel Murphy at 250.
Yeah, he's... Oh, no, Gabe Murphy. There he is right there. There he is. You like Gabe Murphy? He's definitely tries hard.
He doesn't have the strength that I would like. I think he was 0th percentile in arm length. So that's a big question mark. Big question mark. He doesn't have the length that would horrify me, but 77.1 run defense grade, 18.4% pass rush win rate. He's a guy that maybe you sit here and say you give him Chris Kocurek and see what he can do. I don't think they'd take him, but I do think he's worth the conversation. Had an 87.6 pass rush grade this year at UCLA. Like just undersized for sure, but...
He's a twin, right? Grayson and Gabe are the two Murphy brothers.
Yeah.
I think Gabe's better.
I think so too. They're very different in how they play and their skill set, but... Like, I'm someone that doesn't think San Francisco drafts a linebacker early. We already got a cornerback. You got a safety. Like, oh, man. Like, Jaden Cromutty from Mississippi State, like, I like him a lot. But that's, like, the last pick of the draft, 51. Like, I couldn't see you taking him here.
Yeah.
Which brings you back to...
I mean, Mississippi State, by the way, is a great defensive... I mean, Chris Jones... yeah. Simmons, Jeffrey Simmons, they probably are the two best defensive tackles in the sport. They both come out of Starkville. So Cromutty is another guy. He's big. He's athletic. I agree. He's raw, and he'd probably be a late day three pick, but I like him too.
Let's go with receiver. I think
receiver.
Yeah. I think receiver.
Receiver's interesting. Now, Aeneas Smith, we do have a super here from Michael. Who says Aeneas Smith is a great pass blocking receiver, total fit for our offense. He does the dirty work well, punt returner, kick returner, special team skills too. This guy is like a legend in College Station. he really is. I mean, Aeneas Smith is like, he's like really, really well known. I love him. I think he's a tremendous player. I think he would be a great pick, but you know, there are other receivers. Let's take a look.
Ryan Flournoy is there, and like he's 6'1", 200 pounds, 10-inch hands. He runs a 4.4. Like he's very someone fast. That he probably.
And then there's other guys too. Bub Means is fast. Gold is fast from Oregon State. David White from Western Carolina is really intriguing. Big 6'4" receiver. Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint. A lot of people, I saw Rick Spielman said that he thinks he's a day three sleeper. And then Tyler Harrell is just a ridiculous burner. he's 200 pounds. He's not like he's a tiny guy. There's some the receiver's a good spot late in this draft.
Yeah. We pick at 211. I want to get the guy that I like here.
Yeah.
And that is Joshua Cephas from UTSA. Okay. He's 6'3", 185. He had 547 yak yards last year. 52.1% of his yards were yak. If that doesn't scream Kyle Shanahan, I have no idea what does. He's big. He's fast. Can make the first guy miss consistently. Excellent. When I talk about excellent blocker, Cephas is amazing in regards to blocking. The route tree isn't great. There are some drops here or there, but in a year where Juwan Jennings could be gone after this season, like you have the archetype that could slide into there and maybe be something. Now that's wishful thinking, but I think Cephas makes a lot of sense for the Niners late in this draft.
So you got Ricky Pearsall and Cephas being added to the receiving core.
Right. Which
that's good. That's two good, really good players. And then you have two more picks, 211 and 215. Let's see. I'll tell you one guy that I absolutely love, and I think he's still on the board. Let's see if he's there. Well, first of all, Vaki's there. We'll see. The linebacker that I love is this kid, Kalen DeLoach. I love Kari Coleman from Ole Miss and Kalen DeLoach from Florida State. DeLoach is more of a sub package monster, but we're talking about a linebacker who's about 215 pounds. Who, you know, this guy's got high character. You know, when Florida State got left out of the playoffs, most of their players tucked tail and got out of there and didn't show up for the bowl game. This kid did. And he runs 4.47, you know, and he's a linebacker. He's a sub package linebacker. But him and Kari Coleman from Ole Miss, I think, are two outstanding sub package linebackers. But what do you think? I mean, 211, 215. Is there a spot besides, you know, linebacker that you're looking for or you want me to highlight here?
Yeah, so I think, like, these are the two spots in my last mock draft where I picked Cromutty from Mississippi State, and then after that went Tatum Bethune from Florida State.
Who they also just brought in.
Right, and Bethune is someone that he's 6 foot, 200 and almost 30 pounds. He had a 30.0 pass rating when targeted last season at Florida State. And I think Johnny Holland said, if you can cover, we'll take you. And there's a reason as to why they want to talk to him and visit with him. Like, his coverage skills are stellar. He has 4.69 speed, which isn't phenomenal, but as a linebacker, he can chase down a receiver if he has to at times. he was also asked to play pass rusher at sometimes, which like don't understand why, but he's really good in zone coverage. I think he would fit what San Francisco's defensive scheme wants out of their linebackers. I wouldn't go quarterback. You can maybe sell me on running back here. Like, is Edwards still there from Georgia?
Yes. Day one Edwards, Imani Bailey, they're all there. Kamani Vidal.
I think some good running backs.
Dylan Johnson from Washington, who's 220 pounds, and he didn't play in the national championship game because he was hurt, but he is a terrific back too.
So I think I would go with the money pick. And I know Austin Jones is there in San Francisco's talked to him a couple of times. Was that the pro day? I think you were there.
I interviewed him at the pro day too. And he started at Stanford, went to SC, but I don't think he's quite on the level as of Dejon Edwards, right, to be honest.
So like there's Michael Wiley there, who's, I know is buried, but of the guys on the board still, Edwards is 5'10", 207 pounds. Workhorse, ran a 4.7, which isn't very fast, but averaged 5.4 yards a carry at Georgia. His last two seasons, not just last season, last two seasons at Georgia. 20 touchdowns and just two fumbles when he was there. I would take Edwards here and give you a fifth running back in that room.
I like that one. Dejon Edwards, you know, he's fast enough. I'm never really too worried about the 40 times on these guys when they're running backs, when they're productive in the SEC. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
the guy's fast enough.
The biggest knock on him is he's not a great pass blocker, which could piss Kyle Shanahan off a lot. But I think you can avoid that with him. And he probably wouldn't play in the first 2 years of his career anyways, knowing Kyle. But let's see what else.
So here we are, 215, and there's still a lot of good players on the board. Yeah. I mean, a lot of good players on the board.
Cromuddy's still there from Mississippi State. Vaki's still there from Utah.
Logan Lee was a good player at Iowa. I'm not sure how it's going to translate to the NFL, but he was a very good player. Aeneas Smith, Vidal, Cromedy, you know, Cromedy's a big boy. I mean, we're talking about, you know, and he's got movement ability. You're talking about 300 pounds. He's intriguing. He really is.
Cromedy's what, 6'4", 301, round 6'3", 33-inch arms, 10.5-inch hands. He's raw, but he's got the body you'd want to play on the interior. When I think of the Niners' interior defensive line, we already got Newton, and we have Hargrave. Malik Collins is there probably for a year. Jordan Elliott's there. Who knows for how long? Then you have Gibbons.
Jordan Elliott had great numbers against the run last year. I think he was the sixth best defensive tackle in the league against the run.
He did.
That was pretty impressive.
And then Clea Davis is there, who I know many people have high hopes for, but he's always.
I do, but I'm not. It hasn't happened yet. I mean, it's like, how many more opportunities is he going to get? And then Givens was Cadillacing right next to Chase Young in the NFC Championship game. So I don't know how much you can depend on him. You know, Cromedy, you can never have enough defensive linemen, that's for sure.
And, like, if you told me you walked away with arguably, on some people's big boards, the best defensive tackle in the entire class, and then at the last pick of what you have to play with, you got Cromedy, who, again, is 6'4", 301 pounds, which can at least fill space and take up a body. He's raw, but you give him Chris Kocerek, like, what could that become? I would like that. I like those prospects much more than Kalia Davis was 2 years ago. I like it much more than, you know, previous picks they've had in the past. Like, I think Cromedy would be, I don't want to say a steal, but he would certainly be someone you point to and say, wow, like, how did the NFL let Cromedy fall that far to San Francisco?
I mean, just on, you know, when you watch him, you can see he's, you know, there's upside there. I mean, he's got quick feet. He probably needs to get in a little bit better shape, but I mean, there's a lot to like there. All right, let's go Jaden Cromedy there, and that will finish us off in the mock. And now it goes through the end of the draft. And, you know, there's always the ability to sign guys after the draft, and there's some damn good guys on the board. So I would imagine that the Niners will be very competitive for some of those guys. Oh, yeah. But let's recap it. We started with Johnny Newton at 31, came back with Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver out of Florida, at 63. Went with the corner at 108. Jaden Hicks, the safety thumper, at 124. Went with Bo Limmer, who I think could be a starter at center, maybe even as soon as this year, at 132. Got the best blocking tight end in the entire draft at 135. Xavier Thomas is an edge that you really like. I've got to watch film on him, but at 136, you went offensive tackle with Christian Jones, who's, you know, big, huge bodied guy with a lot of athleticism coming out of a big program. That's a nice one. Josh Cephas, a really talented receiver at 203. Dejon Edwards, the running back from Georgia at 211. And then defensive tackle, once again, Crumity at 215. I like it, man. I think it's a good looking mock. How do you feel about it?
I feel good. I mean, there's a lot of players in the mock, like Limmer, Phillips, and Jones, and Cromartie that I've taken a lot in previous mocks of my own. So I'm comfortable with those guys. Like I'm sure you have it as well. I have 110 prospects on my phone ready to go to talk about. So like when I see these guys, I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. Like seeing this mock, and if this happens to occur next week, I would like to believe the Niners, which they already are probably the best roster in the NFL, but they would leave saying, sure, you could have got an edge rusher or a tackle earlier, and there's always this, that, and the other, but the talent on the board that we've taken that fell to us or we stole from somebody else, I think there's plentiful talent on this board.
The only thing that I would consider doing, this guy says Tyler Harrell ran 4.24 at his pro day. Yeah, he's a burner. There's no question. And we'll see if he gets drafted. But the only thing that I would be on the lookout to do that we didn't do because it's not really available to us in this mock draft is that the Niners are one of three teams that was rumored to be interested in a trade for Buda Baker.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they can afford Buda Baker. I don't know. You know, how do you tell Ayuk we don't have enough money and, you know, somehow pay Brock what he's due and then wind up with Buda Baker? But, man, Buda Baker is such a difference maker. You know, the Eagles re-signed Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I thought that was a great addition for them. I think Baker, in a lot of ways, would be the perfect secondary piece for the Niners. From what I'm hearing, his salary is going to make it so that the Cardinals probably wind up moving him for a fifth or a sixth round draft choice.
Jeez.
On draft weekend.
Okay.
And I know if there's a contract involved and he makes, you know, a sizable amount of money, but that would be the one, you know, if there's one thing I could do beyond what we just did, if I could figure out a way to get Buda Baker and maybe not take a safety, you know, right, what I mean? And use that pick on somebody else or use the pick that you're going to, you know, somehow trade for a Buda Baker. To me, that could make a very good draft elite if they could find a way to add that kind of playmaker on the back end. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's cap reasonable and that kind of thing. But the Niners, the Colts, and there was a third team that were all interested in Buda Baker, according to CBS Sports, about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. That's the one guy that I'd be like, you know what? Because I've talked to George Kittle about Buda Baker, and, you know, we all know what kind of player Buda Baker is. He could be that alpha that they're looking for in their secondary to kind of get them over the top. And if he's available and they can make it work cap-wise, man, I would do it.
If they're going all in, do whatever it takes. That's all I got to say. Do whatever it takes.
Awesome stuff, Sterling. Thanks for, I'm going to stop sharing right here and get us back on the board here. But thanks for coming on, man. Once again, tease your channel. Tell people where they can find you. There are a lot of people here in the chat. Somebody who said, this is the best mock you've done. and I love, you know, to me, this time of year, it is interesting to see who can really, truly get granular on something like the NFL draft. Most people can't, and some people brag about the fact that they can't. But to me, it's really a good indicator of what kind of depth you have as a host when you can talk about options in the sixth round of the NFL draft and actually have something meaningful to share with the audience. So tell people where they can find your show and how often you stream and you know, everybody, we got over 1,000 people in the room right now. you know, everybody, if you would do me a favor, do me a solid. If you hit like and subscribe over here on the Krug Show, we would appreciate that. Go over to Sterling's channel and give him a like and subscribe over on his channel and help build him to 40,000 subs. That'll be really cool.
That'll be great.
tell people, you know, what kind of content you put out. And is it, you know, you're talking not just Niners, right? Niners, Warriors, Giants, Bay Area sports, right?
Oh, no, we are full on red and gold till the day we go. It's Niners every single week.
Oh, it's all
every
Niners. Day.
All Niners. We are 49ers access. It's all we're talking over there. Again, just released the quote-unquote most accurate mock draft, which some picks occurred in this mock draft as well. So we're talking Niners every single day over there, every single week. Again, you can find me at 49ers Access on YouTube, on Twitter or X is 49ers_Access. Instagram is 49ers.Access. Again, you just type in 49ers Access. You will find me somewhere in the ether on the internet.
Last question before we call it quits. Is there a player that we did not mock to the Niners and that you just love? You know, I mean, everybody's got like one or two guys that it's like, you know what? It didn't work out. It wasn't the right number. It wasn't the right need, this and that. But I am absolutely convinced that this player is going to be super special. Who's that guy for you?
I know we talked about Michael Hall earlier. That's a player that he kind of gets buried behind Newton and Murphy. I know Tavondre Sweat has his off the field issues, but I can see him being a third round pick to somebody, probably Kansas City, maybe the Cowboys, maybe the Raiders, teams that don't mind some personal issues off the field. I love me some Michael Hall, but Mo Kamara, we also mentioned, like, he doesn't fit what the Niners want to do, but Mo Kamara is just awesome. Like, in 5 years at Colorado State, he had 45 and a half tackles for losses, 30 and a half sacks, and 5 forced fumbles. Like, you talk about production, he's the epitome of production. I don't know what he'll be in the NFL, but if that size doesn't play a factor for him, Mo Kamara could be really special, and I'm really excited to see what he does at the next level.
Yeah, I love Mo Kamara. Kind of reminds me of Hugh Douglas.
Okay.
Yeah, remember Hugh Douglas back in the day. For me, it's Blake Corum. I just
love him.
The more I watch Blake Corum, the more I think, you know what? This kid has got the footwork, the explosion, the power, the speed, the character. To me, he reminds me a lot of Emmitt Smith, in that Emmitt Smith was absolutely this high character running back for the Dallas Cowboys. He kind of was the heart and soul of that dynasty. You know, they had Aikman and they had Irvin and Novacek and athletes on defense and Jimmy Johnson and Eric Williams. And they had other guys, but Emmitt was kind of like the heart and soul of that dynasty. And I think Blake Corum reminds me of Emmitt in that he scores tons of touchdowns. He's great in short yardage. He's got quick feet. He's just, you know, he's this great charitable guy, but he's also this incredible gotcha kind of a competitor. I love Blake Corum. And I know people are like, the Niners don't need another third round running back. And I don't even know if he'll make it to the third round. And you can't take him in the second round if you're the 49ers, if you have Christian McCaffrey. But I love Blake Corum. And if they somehow wound up with Blake Corum, I would be doing absolute cartwheels. I just see him as a truly great difference-making back who's going to be wearing a Super Bowl ring someday. So,
okay.
So there you go. And I love Kamara too, and I love Michael Hall. Those are all great ones. But for me, Blake Corum just seems like, I don't know. To me, there's something really special about that player. You know, he's from a tiny town in Virginia, and who knows? Who knows? Some people feel like he's an overrated player, that he was, you know, kind of shown to be better than he was behind a Michigan offensive line that has multiple guys that are going to be drafted and J.J. McCarthy and, you know, all the talent they had on that roster. But I kind of see him as the key to the glue piece of the Wolverines. And if, you know, when he goes, I'll be like, oh, and I really hope he doesn't go to somebody really good. You know, because I just see, to me, he seems like the kind of guy that's going to wear Super Bowl rings. Awesome stuff, Sterling. Great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Maybe after the draft, we can get you back on and kind of review what the Niners did and look ahead to training camp. But thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Larry Kruger, for having me on. And also want to let all of you know that NFL Mock Draft 4.0 drops this Monday. It'll be my final mock draft before the NFL draft next Thursday. I want to ask you kindly to like, share, subscribe to not only myself, but also Larry. You can find Larry at The Krug Show. You can also like and subscribe to me and the show here at 49ers Access, whether it's on Instagram, 49ers.access, Twitter, 49ers_access, or you can leave a like, share, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can subscribe to us on YouTube. And look, folks, NFL Draft is 1 week away. Less than 1 week away. And I can tell you this, until the next time we talk, I only ask you one thing. Stay faithful.